Good morning. The second chapter of James I'd like to share with you this morning. The book of James is often called the Proverbs of the New Testament because it deals with, as one person put it, where the rubber meets the road, the practical matters. And so I'd like to read to you, beginning at verse 1, chapter 2 of James. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothes, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Now, before I read the next section, maybe I should Tom up here. No, I don't do it today. You can't believe something you have no evidence for.
Amen.
11th chapter, first verse of Hebrews says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. In the last part of the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he says, we look not to things which are seen, to things which are not seen. Now, let me boil that down to what it means to me. I heard a preacher on the radio this morning read a scripture here and say that without works, faith is dead. That's what it says. And then he says, does that mean that you're saved by works? No. Well, how come? If saving faith, as he said, is dead, you don't have it anymore. You know, to me, maybe I'm just being a little too picky, but if faith is dead in your corpus, and there's some evidence that's been there, not that it's missing, but that it's dead. Now, he explains that. I'm going to read this to you. I'm going to leave it to Brother Allen to explain it further. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, in hearts, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Convincer means convicted. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, if thou kill, thou art become transgressor of the law, and I'd say the full law. So speak ye and do ye, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For ye shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though man say he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Now, I'm going to leave it at that and say this. You know, the devils don't need faith. They see God in the spiritual world. But we need faith. And it is the gift of God, according to the 5th chapter, about the 22nd verse of Galatians. It is the gift of the Spirit. And so, faith, if it's in you, and I believe it's in eons of people throughout this world, never heard of Primitive Baptist, never heard of Jesus, but they had faith, and it wasn't put there by a preacher. Now, preaching is important because it brings forth to our knowledge and to our comfort and instruction as to how we ought to live our lives here in time. You know, I've spent many years with this old book, and I've read it in one way to see if I can prove this. And then I read it another way so I can prove that. You may not be, but I am content to believe that faith is never gone. It's dead. And the illustration is that only works manifest it. Only by works can we show our faith.
I want you to know that I feel this morning that God has loaded this dear brother's mind with this message. But I will speak a little while on the subject of faith. As Brother Bill said, faith is a gift. What is a gift? What do you do to get a gift? If you have to work or you have to do something to get it, it's not a gift. It's a reward. It's a wage. But Jesus, in his life, when he was here on earth, he talked about these folks that went throughout the world. These were the great religious leaders of the world. And they professed that they had faith. Yet by their works, they denied him. And that's why he said unto them, O ye of little faith. When we talk about faith, Paul said that faith is he said, by grace are you saved. Now, I want you to think about this. The old Baptist has used this text years and years and years. But he said, by grace are you saved. And that's talking about eternally saved. That's talking about going to eternal glory. By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet there is multitudes of people in the religious world that say, if you will hear the gospel, if you will do these things and do certain principles and perform certain acts, then you can have faith. And the statement is, if you will just step out on your faith and trust God. Well, brethren, you can't step out on something you don't have. Faith comes when we're born of the Spirit of God. It is that which God gives us as a gift. And he says, the Apostle Paul says, without faith. What if you don't have faith? If you don't have faith, he says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many of us understand what impossible means? I mean, he didn't say without faith you can't hardly please God. But he says without faith you cannot please God. You cannot. Impossible to please God. So the only ones that can please God are those who have been born of the Spirit of God. Those other people that you could not take this gospel and pour it into them. They reject it. They think it's mythology. They think it's nothing but just old tales that means nothing. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you cannot, until somebody has been born of the Spirit of God, you can teach them about God, but you can't teach them to know God. Only God can teach you to know Himself. And that comes by direct sovereign work of the Spirit of God. Faith is the gift whereby the brethren in Hebrews chapter 11, it's called the book of faith. The book of we could say that this is the book, and it's not so much as what tells us what so much faith is, but it tells you what we can do by faith. It tells you what faith will do for you. And Jesus, one time, he says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. But he says, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be thou moved. And it'll move. You say, well, and the guy illustrated that. He said, I've had this old mountain out here in front of my yard all this time, and I just want to, I'm going to trust God. And he says, I prayed this morning, and it did, and I got up this morning, the mountain was still there. So it didn't work. Well, if we want to talk about doing those things and praying that Jesus, when he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou moved. He's not talking about literal stone mountains over here. He's talking about the mountains that are in our lives, the things that come into our lives that cause us troubles, that cause us to have unbelief, that cause us distress, and cause us, Matthew, to distrust God and to take our own lives. There are sometimes people get so discouraged and so out of it, they just cannot believe that there's anything left. But there's always God. Always. He's only a prayer away. And so when he talk about this faith, he says, now faith is the substance. Substance is that which something is built on. It's this substance of this pulpit's wood. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, when we talk about hope, hope is something that a lot of people, they want to belittle that. Well, if you don't know you're saved, then you're probably not. And you say, well, are you a child of God? And you say, well, I have a hope. Well, is that all you have? Hope, brothers and sisters, is an anchor of our soul. It's stir and steadfast, and it enters into the veil. Hope is not a dead wish. Hope is not something, well, it's like I hope it don't rain today, because if it rains today, Zetha might not come. That's what we you know. I mean, that's kind of the way we talk about, because we wanted Jethro to be here, and she can't drive in the rain. I hope it doesn't rain. That's not what the Bible talks about. Hope is that it's that grounded substance that's within us that comes through faith. You can't believe in something you don't. And Brother Bill has wonderfully said, you can't believe anything without evidence. Now, what's the evidence? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Have you ever seen God? You wasn't here when Jesus was here. How do you know he's the Son of God? How do you know that he even died on the cross? How do you know George Washington was the first president? How do you know that? Well, I have a history book. I have a book, and that there's actually people that could that the history records. But when you say, well, how do you know there's a God? If you don't, it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool said that. And you cannot. And when you start believing, and Brother Bill talked about these people that never have seen or even heard or even been in a church. that will be in eternal glory. I want you to think about the old American Indian that buried his horses and his tomahawks and all those things with him. They never heard a gospel preacher. They never heard of anybody that came into the world and said, Jesus is the Son of God, until these missionaries began to come, and then they adopted Christianity. But those folks believed in God, the great white hunter, and they believed that there was a hereafter over there that they was going to go to. But they worshiped in ignorance, of course. They thought they needed their horses and their tomahawks and all those things over in heaven. But brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people in this world that believe some silly stuff like that too. You say, well, brother, I don't know what you mean. Well, I heard a guy say one time, if you don't have Fig Newtons in heaven, I just don't know if I want to go. And they have these great golf courses and all these things. And some people say, well, we're going to go over here. I don't know what it's going to be like over there, specifically. But I have faith in God that when, and we can describe heaven by what it says it's not. He said there's no death over there. Isn't that good? There's no sadness over there. There's no tears. There's no sun, no moon, nor stars, because Jesus is the light of that city. Do you believe? You know, we at the cemetery yesterday, I quoted out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's the Apostle Paul, by faith, the only way you can believe that Jesus died for your sins is if you've been born again. And if you haven't, you know, I pray to God that one day the Lord will touch your life in a magnificent way. But the gospel, brothers and sisters, Brother Bill, is for those that have faith. This book is not a highway to heaven. This book, you can just say, well, this is the roadmap to heaven. If you just follow this and do the things that's in here, if you'll just keep the commandments, do all those things that the scriptures tell you, then you'll go to heaven. I'm going to say amen. If you keep this book and you do the things that's in this book and you follow after the teachings of this book, I believe you're going to go to heaven. But this is not how you get there. Faith comes sovereignly by God. But when you think about the gospel is not God's ordained means of saving people eternally. But the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, we've quoted this a lot of times, he said, Romans chapter 1, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that Believeth. It didn't say, the gospel is to all those that will believe. The word believeth is a present tense participle, Brother Mick. And it simply means that the gospel is the power of God to all those who are believing. It's to the believing. This book has nothing to do with those who do not have faith. This is the book of faith. This, by the way, is the faith, which was the 66 books of this Bible, is the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's no more. This is it. And we believe that it is inspired. But notice he says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from unbelief to unbelief. Brother Bill, it's revealed from my faith to your faith. If you don't have faith, and if I'm up here teaching something and I don't believe what I'm teaching, you ought to hang me. Because this, brothers and sisters, is the book of faith. But I cannot relate to you if you don't have faith. The faith is the receiving aspect of how I can communicate with you about God. Without that, John, you're dead in the water. You just don't have it. But he says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Or I could even say from this faith to your faith. But it's faith. What is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. You know, you can't get a whole lot better than that. You could say, well, it's trust. Yeah. It's confidence, yeah. But don't tell me you got faith. I'm going to go over to your book. I'm going to go over there back to James. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? I've just read to you that faith can save you. If you'll add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance godliness, and godliness, all of these things, he said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I never found anywhere in the Bible, Brother Bill, where it told me to go out and get faith. I've got it. If I've got it, then I can add to it. But if I don't have it, I can't add to something I don't have. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, and all these different things. He said, and these things be in you and abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith will save the saved. Can I say that? Faith will save those who are saved. Another point in 1 Corinthians, it says the preaching of the cross. And that's what we try to preach. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish. The preaching of the cross is to those who are perishing. Those who are not, those who do not have faith. The preaching of the cross is to those people foolishness. But to us that have faith. You see, the gospel is good news. It tells about what God has done for you. And I tried to speak over there at the cemetery, and it says, if we believe that God raised, if we believe that Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures, then we must also believe the rest of the story. You can't just have part of this. If we believe that Jesus died for us, there's some promises that we've got to believe. You see, promises are things, and when I make a promise, sometimes I may break that promise. But once God makes a promise, it's lead in the rock. Can't be changed. And he says, if I go away, do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you don't have faith, you won't. Jesus said, if I go away, I'm coming again. You believe that promise? He said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, where is Dana this morning? She's in eternal glory, rejoicing with God and the Savior. She is not hurting. She don't have MS. She don't have any of those pains anymore. And she wouldn't come back if you could. She wouldn't come back to this earth for no amount of money. She wouldn't come back if you'd pay her all the gold in Fort Knox, because she has something that money can't buy. She has perfect knowledge. She has a perfect body. She's able. You know, I like that little poem that Melissa said. He said, I feel sorry for you. I said, I feel so sorry for you. You can't walk. He said, but I'm going to walk like you when I get to heaven. You cannot believe that. That message will have absolutely no meaning at all on you. I can't comfort you at all unless you believe it. So you say, I got faith. Well, can faith save you? Not unless you put it into action. Faith just don't. If you just let it sit there, you see, there's things, brothers and sisters, that God has promised us if we'll do by faith. By faith, Abraham went out into a land that didn't know where he was going. God told him, Abraham, get up and get out. And that's all he said. Where am I going, Lord? And said, I'll tell you when you get there. He said he got up and he moved. He went out, not going, not knowing where he was going. But he believed God. And brothers and sisters, the same God of Abraham, the same God that was over there, is the same God we have today. He's not changed. He loves us forever. He loved us so much that he gave his precious son to die in our place. Now, can faith save you? If a brother, now this is putting faith into action. You say you have faith, okay? Here's a brother out here that's naked and destitute of daily food. You say, well, and that, this does not mean, and I want to emphasize, Brother Tom, the word brother. This doesn't mean we have to sit down and hold up the traffic every time we pass a panhandler on the street. I do give some to them every once in a while. But this is talking about those who are God's children that are in need. And one of you say unto him, you have a need? Well, just God bless you, brother. Depart in peace. Just go out there and God bless you. I hope somebody gives you something. Notwithstanding, you give them those things which are needful. Doth not profit you at all. Even so, if faith hath not works, it's dead, being alone. Now, I do not believe, brothers and sisters, that God gives us faith just to say we have it. You believe that God just gives you faith so you can brag on having faith? Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith works by what? Faith works by love. Who will get love? By the Spirit. Why did you love God? If you love God this morning, I'm going to tell you why you love Him. If you don't, I hope you will one day. We love God, why? Because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. And we believe in Him because He first gave us the Spirit of God that we could believe in Him. And He gives us faith as a fruit of that spiritual. Therefore, we believe Him because He has given us capacity. Can I say that word? The word faith is the substance. If you don't have it, you can't please God. You can't believe in God. Even so, faith, if it hath not worked, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. Now, how is it that we show our faith without works? Let me ask you this question. Can I show my faith without my works? I can tell you I got it. But you see, Brother Randy called it the 13th commandment. He says, a new commandment I give unto you. It's really not new, but it was from the beginning. He says, by this shall all men know. How are you going to know? By this shall all men know. How am I going to know I'm a child of God? Well, there is something inside of me that resonates. The Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I am. But how is it that somebody else is going to know you are? He says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have loved one to another. And I have emphasized that little preposition to. It did not say if you have love one for another. To means it's reciprocal. I have to have, in order for me to show my love for you, I've got to do some things for you. And in my own self. The man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? You believe in God? That's good. You do well. But you know, he says, the devils believe and tremble. Brother Bill talked about the devil having faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. The devil is a real, he is very real. He's not a figment of your imagination. But he is our adversary, seeking whom he may devour. But he don't have faith. He has knowledge of things. He is a spiritual being. He's out there. He is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. He is as real as we're sitting here today. But see, one of his deceptions is to get you comfortable in where you sit. I believe in God. A lot of people out there say they believe in God, but their works deny it. You can't tell me you believe in God and go out here and do the evil that is being perpetrated in this world today. Our God is a God of love. And there's a lot of people doing things in the name of religion. It is nothing but pure evil. The devils believe and tremble. Do you remember that time that Jesus was walking along there and the devils come along there and he was casting out devils? Remember he was casting out devils? You can't do that, by the way. You cannot cast the devil out. He'll jump on you and tear you up. But through the power of God that's given to us, he said, greater is he that's in me. He that's in me than he that's in the world. I have authority. I have power through the Holy Spirit. But inside of me, there is nothing that I can do. But the old devils, they come along and Jesus was casting them out. He said, who art thou son of God? Are you here to torment us before our time? They believed. They knew who Jesus was. And they knew what their end was going to be. They know their time's limited. And you see, on the cross, Jesus destroyed him that had the power of death. The devil took his power. All he can do now is deceive. All he can do now is cause you to be discouraged, to get you depressed, Matthew, and cause you to despair. You see, the opposite of hope. Hope is faith looking forward. By faith, I have a hope in Christ. But if you don't have hope, you're in despair. Despair. And that's why in that scripture in Thessalonians, he says, brethren, I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. No hope. Hope comes through the Spirit of God. You can't have a hope in God if you don't believe in Him. But you've got to believe His Word. This Word is a thorough furnisher to all good works. It is, by the way, part of our armor. He said, take the sword of the Spirit. This is not the Spirit, but it's the sword of the Spirit. And a sword has two edges. This one does. It has 27 books on one side, and there's 39 on the old side, and 27 in the new. And it's a double two-edged sword. It'll go. You can slay the enemy, either way you want to cut it. But it's given to us, Brother Bill, as a defensive weapon against the devil. Jesus used it effectively. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou discernest not the things that be of God. And we as God's little children, we're walking through. This world is like a, and I explained to Brother Bill, it's the world out here is like a it's like a great eating machine. And you're on the conveyor. And there's these sharp blades going around and around and around, you're on it, and that's where we'll end up, in that eating machine, without faith and trust in God. So he says, add to your faith virtue, add knowledge, add temperance, add all of these things that God has given to us as gifts. He didn't leave us defenseless. He didn't just die for us and leave us here to go on our own. We have a great, wonderful Savior that He saves us eternally. It says over there in one place that He said He hath delivered us. He has. He saved us already, Jim. But He's still doing it. He doth now deliver us. And He will yet deliver us. There's a sense in which our salvation is not finished. because we're not, we envy, and we look over there and at little Dana. We're going to see her again, but she's happier than we are. And that's why Brother Randy told us in his sermon, he said, it's better to go to a funeral than go to a birthday party. You know, that is, it's contrary to thinking as you'll ever get. But you see, we're still trapped in this earthly tabernacle. We still got to contend with sin. And unless Jesus comes back again, we're going to go through death. But, you know, we used to sing that old song, Jesus can make a dying bed feel soft as downy pillows. There is no sting in death because Jesus took it away.